Hey guys, welcome to the sixth episode of the High Level Experience Podcast. My name is Andrew Kamai. This is my co-host Vit Mueller, and we're bringing you all of the good and bad of High Level. We got a new segment for you today called The Beef, and so stay tuned for that. The Beef. But no, this episode's going to be pretty cool. We're going to go over lots of cool things like what Vit likes to call magic links, deep linking into software solutions. So you guys that are selling SaaS, you guys can bring people into your SaaS like sections and get them to do things from email communication and make their life a lot easier. So we're going to do some pretty cool stuff, talk about links, talk about tech stuff, and I'm just going to kick it off. What do you think, Vit?
100%, 100%, but first...
Dude, we got to get that down because I'm like, I'm all about that right now. We should have it in the background while we're doing it. Just go.
All right, guys. I think deep links, magic, I like to call them magic links, but I think what we're going to do, let's do a swap. Let's do geek out because this is more, this belongs to geek out segment. This is like technical, juicy stuff. But I think let's start with the bigger picture about the benefits and the strategy and do the move the needle first.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Yeah.
Strap in, entrepreneurs and growth gurus, for our Move the Needle segment, where we zoom in on one game-changing strategy, tactic, or tool designed to turbocharge your business trajectory, high-level style.
They say money can't buy happiness. Look at the fucking smile on my face.
So, I mean, my take on it is... sales is one thing to acquire a customer, but to keep the customer, you need to provide amazing experiences. And when you get a customer that has just signed up for this new fancy thing, this new software, right? Your software, your white lab version of your high level, they don't know anything about it, right? They don't know all the features. They're like newbies. And I think if you can provide them with an amazing experience as far as onboarding goes and get them quickly up to speed, then it's going to go a long, long way in keeping that customer for longer, as well as helping that customer to generate results quicker. So that's one. And then two, if you can do it in a way that is like intuitive, then again, you're ahead of everybody else. Almost like, not even just ahead, it's almost like this is like a standard of a good software company, wouldn't you think, Andrew? Right.
Yeah, that's... So one thing that I learned, man, I don't even know what to call it, just a pretty basic entrepreneur, solopreneur, marketer for a long time. Like I just went in, I told people, hey, I can get you leads, help you out, build a website, do all this fun stuff. And then when I got into software, I realized the world that we experience as consumers is a lot harder to create as an owner, as like a founder, right? And so, yeah, building that experience for people is incredibly important. Most people, like... So a lot of softwares, what they do is they rely on the software to sell itself. Something like High Level is like a white canvas. It's like a blank slate, right? So we do things like build snapshots, like you have amazing snapshots, Vit. And what we do is we put all these things together to try to get those people to what's called first value, okay? So what we want to do is get them to first value as quick as possible. And it's a lot easier to do that, obviously, when you have snapshots and you have, let's say, someone like Extendly doing onboarding or whatever it is, okay? But there's always that downtime in between when somebody logs in last and then you want them to log in again. Like, you really want that period to be as short as possible, but there's going to be like a day or 2 days or maybe a week in between, right? And so those emails that go out and those, you know, we call deep links or magic links. And I don't like to use the, I'm not trying to knock you here, but I don't like to use the word magically because that is a very particular thing. Like when people click a link to log in or they get like a code in the email and stuff, those are like magic links, right? But the concept is getting a link in an email that takes somebody directly to a section. So if I send you an email, and I got a bunch of examples here because we do this for ChatHQ, but if I send you a link, an email that says, actually I got one here, I'll just pull it up and read it. It really is just, hey, like this widget can do all these things. Like ChatHQ gives you this and it can do call to actions and contact forms and this and that. And click here to go start editing your widget now. That link is going to use some data that we provide in High Level or that we collect and then we use a custom value or custom field. And then we take that person directly to their account, assuming that they're logged in. If not, we could do some like magic stuff So I guess they are magic links, but we could do some like single sign-on stuff. And it takes them directly to that section in the account. So doing that, it shortens that downtime in between logging in, right? Because now we're prompting them to do something. We're giving them value, and then we're giving them a direct access link to doing that thing and like accomplishing that goal. So yeah, there's tons of stuff.
If I was
going to
put another spin on it, it's like a thing that I bet you everybody has experienced. And that's the question from a customer saying, so where do I go?
Yeah.
That's basically it in a nutshell. What we're talking about this episode is fighting against this question. So where do I go?
You have no idea how many emails I get. No knock against my customers. It's just so many emails like, where do I go to do this? Or like, where do I go to manage billing? Like the 100%. Billing section.
Yeah. And this is not shitting on the customer, guys. This is not their fault at all. Like,
it
they
happens
are busy.
To everyone, even us. Yeah.
People are busy running their business and they hired you or they sign up with you for the software thing. It is your responsibility to make it as easy as possible. And what's easiest than serving it on a silver platter in an email, let's say the email being the silver platter and the link being the little candy that just one like bite-sized thing. Just click and there you are. And also like there are things, and I think that's more of a UX or UX probably, a thing with the menus. Like in high-level menu, you can only have that many items, otherwise the list will be incredibly long. But there are features that probably could be on that menu item and they're not. They're more like hidden behind another feature like tasks. Like you have to go into the contacts to get to tasks. So your customers, when you talk to them, hey, just did you check off your tasks? And it's maybe
and
the business.
They don't
know where to go. Yeah. Or maybe the business owner knows it, but their employees, like they're not using it because it's not in front of it's not in front of them. So they don't know it.
Yep.
But if you can create a deep link, a magic link.
That's huge. Anywhere you can add those. So when you say UI, UX, like UI is the actual interface and then UX is the experience. So it really is a mixture of both. So it's a UI, UX thing. But like anywhere you can add, I would say knowledge, like I'm leaning towards the idea that you have support docs and you have things in your website and then the emails, like everything kind of funnels into experiences and journeys that your customer takes, right? It's not just, we all talk about customer journeys in terms of funnels and websites, but it's everywhere. Your customer is going on a journey everywhere. They log in, they're going on a journey. Yeah, exactly. So it's a very popular term in marketing, like customer journey, right? UX, user experience, every single time they experience your application, it's a journey, right? Shameless plug for ChatHQ. You could probably do a lot of this cool stuff with ChatHQ too. So, you know, just saying.
Now, obviously, there are ways how you can improve the learning experience of your customers with those interactive help guides. I know HL Pro Tools has one. I know Extendly has ones. They're really useful.
Dude, we built them for years. ChatHQ had them for years, and then we partnered with Extendly, so we didn't really push those anymore. We had the best ones in the market. Sorry, Matt. Sorry, Beyond. Love you guys. Yeah, we had the best ones in the market for over a year and a half. We don't do anything now because we're partners with Extendly, and theirs like really came up, and so now theirs are really good. I never really saw Matt DeSanto's or HL Pro Tools, but
I use them in my agency. It works really well. I think like the importance of like when you're building shit, it's very generalized, right? Shit. Try and build shit that's like the most timeless as possible. Like that you build it once and it doesn't get impacted by like future changes, right? So let's go back to deep links. Because that is one area that pretty much can be consistent, that you do it now and it'll work pretty much forever. But before we get on to technical, I just want to stay on the move the needle bit on a strategy, specifically about sales. All right. So when it comes to sales, there's many attributes like speed to lead and experience, UX, UI, all those things. But one of them is also on the sales rep side. Like the actual sales reps need to be on top of every single opportunity, every possible opportunities that happen in a CRM. And if you can create a way to notify your clients, sales reps, through an email about important events, whether it be a new lead opt-in or somebody has achieved a certain number on a lead score or whatever the important conversion metrics are for you to then decide, okay, I'm going to do an actual outreach. If you can do that, set up an email notification that goes out to those sales reps and then make it so that it becomes more like a reactive thing rather than them always being proactive. Because with sales, obviously you need to be proactive. but with the volume of sales, depending on how many leads you give to each sales reps, you can combine reactive with proactive. So meaning the sales reps are proactive by nature because they want to close the deals and they want to make commission. But if you can support their activities with an email that goes out to them, which is something that they just get, they don't have to be proactive about it. It's served to them on a silver platter about information. Hey, this person did so-and-so, this happened. And then deep link, click here directly to go to the contact, or click here to go directly into the opportunity. That makes the day-to-day workflow, or day-to-day, like how they work, those sales reps, a lot easier. So you could have an influence on how many sales they generate as a customer, in which turns back to you as a software provider, where they love you more for it because you help them grow their business. So I think that's almost like, it does belong to more like a strategy, but segued into a technical bit, which we'll get into now. Anything else?
No, I don't know. We touched on that earlier. Just it's the experiences. You can do it for sales. You can do it for post sales. You can do it. It's a retention play, right? It's all about product adoption. And so it doesn't matter if it's pre-sale, post-sale, the faster they get to first value, which is a very popular term in software, the faster they adopt the product, the faster they understand why they're using the product, why they're paying for it, whether that's before they paid for it and it gets them to pay for it, or it's after and it gets them to keep paying for it.
Yeah. Right?
So Matt, deep linking is an incredible tool. On top of that, just sometimes doing it for them, right? I know it's completely sideways from like tangent from what we're talking about, but just going in there, there's experiences I've had in ChatHQ where they're like, customers like, hey, I can't do this. I can't find this. And I'm like, hey, don't worry. I just took care of it for you. They're like, holy crap. Really? I'm like, yeah. Like I just went in there, logged in, edited it for you, and it's all good. You had this problem. Make sure you check that next time. So it's just, dude, whatever you can do, these things that we're teaching, and we're going to keep teaching stuff like this, whatever you can do to help your customer. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes there's nothing you can do. It's an engineering problem. Sometimes you're too busy and you really can't just spend all your time helping customers. You really need a team to do that. But this deep linking thing is a portion of what you can do as a founder to make your customers or prospects' life easier. And that's what generates retention and sales and all that fun stuff.
One thing I like what you said is that jumping in and like fixing something on like creating these surprises for guests, these nice surprises that they didn't expect, over delivering. What I liked about that was I was going to reference that to being a bootstrap company, and I'm a bootstrap business too. I don't have any investors. I'm just not, I mean, in a way I'm a software company too, but not like you where I'm not developing shit. I've got wide level, high level. That's what I do, right? But I'm still bootstrap. I still need to keep an eye out on the money and try and generate customers in the most efficient way possible. And if you do something like that, where it's obviously it's not scalable at all to go into a customer's account and build stuff for them. Normally you would charge them for it, but if you got those first couple of customers and you do it, they're gonna have incredible experience. They're gonna be looking at you like, what the hell? There's no other company that's ever done this for me. They're gonna love you. And then when it comes to generating new customers, again, in the mindset of bootstrap company, trying to keep efficient and not throw money around on paid ads if you can avoid it initially. By doing this, they love you. Well, now you can go back to them and ask for a referral, or you can set up an affiliate program and get them to become an affiliate. And now because they had this amazing experience, they're going to be throwing that around all over their social media. That can help you generate more customers. And yeah. I mean, affiliate marketing, that should be a topic that we definitely dive into a lot more on future episodes, because there's so much you can do with it. But yeah, I just wanted to expand on what you did and how that can relate to...
Let me explain here. This is a perfect... What you just said was incredibly important, and this is a perfect kind of ending to move the needle. I was on an onboarding call with a free customer, okay? And his name was... He just gave us a review. He's definitely made this public. His name was David Strug. Okay, so he signed up for ChatHQ, it's a free account, signed up, scheduled an onboarding call with me. And in that onboarding call, and this, I usually don't do this in an onboarding call, but this individual was telling me like, yeah, I want to use ChatHQ, like I'm ready to do this. I just don't know what the heck I'm doing and I need to see it in action. So I sat there for, I don't know, an hour and 15 minutes. I built his entire widget for him. I explained everything to him. I got him up and running. And he's, dude, give me a link right now. I'll give you a testimonial. That was incredible. The fact that you spent an hour and 15 minutes of your time building this for me. And I do that in strategy calls. So I'll sit there in strategy calls. In ChatGPT, we have strategy calls. And we'll talk about what's the goal of your company. Like, what are you trying to do? And then I help them formulate a strategy or like integrate ChatGPT into their strategy. Because that's how we start the whole session with ChatGPT. So we go, you have to have a strategy first because you can't just throw it out there and say, hey, it's going to work. You got to have a strategy. And so I figured in this call, screw it. Like this guy, I know he's probably going to upgrade at some point. He's a really cool dude. And I love talking to customers. And I love building widgets. Like I love doing that like hands-on in my product. So I was like, yeah, I'll spend the time doing it. And that amount of like connection in that call just instantly took him from like, I'm probably going to upgrade to, I'm going to upgrade as soon as I can. And I'm giving you guys a testimonial. It transitioned him through that process, just like you said, right? The more that, and it's not scalable, like I would need people to do that for me at some point. But the fact that I'm the CEO and I'm spending an hour and 15 minutes of my time building a widget for somebody else to get success with my product, it speaks volumes, right? So the things like deep linking, things like that we're talking about here, it's things that you can do, even though it's your time, you're spending your time wisely because that will pay dividends, right? Those dividends will end up paying, getting you affiliate revenue and getting you more customers, word of mouth, reviews, all kinds of stuff. So.
Yeah, 100%. Back to what you were saying is the scalability of it and the value that this provides to your customer base. It's so high that it's almost, if there was a way to continue to do that and then just delegate the rest of it to the rest of the team, you can continue to be that like amazing company in the view of customers. Do you know about a company that would be like a good example for this?
So give me the scenario again. So me doing this and then transitioning and scaling it.
But
through
keeping on doing it, even though you get really big. Come on. There's
myself or my team?
I'm talking about a high level here, right? Like Sean.
Oh.
I thought that you're going to take the hint. But
I thought you were going there, but I'm like, Sean doesn't do any onboardings. He's always in the Facebook group and he's always... Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's incredibly valuable to the brand of the company. It almost gets to a point where he doesn't even know about the stuff that the developers are working on, and he's still like the face of it, and so he still interacts with the end customers. So it,
yeah, no, it's powerful. Very important. I actually just commented on somebody said that in the post the other day. Sean Bano commented, and somebody's like, I'm new to high level. It's amazing to see the big." He used the term "big wigs." He's like, the big wigs of high level in the Facebook group. And I'm like, they've been doing this for 6 years, 5 years, dude. They've been in the Facebook group and it's awesome. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not saying there's anything like it's special. It is. But then what I mentioned to him was that's how you scale in 2023, 2024, right? Like the old method was hiding behind code, letting the marketing and sales teams do everything. Like being this person of value as like a CEO or like the founder or whatever, and being in front of everything and being able to do it, you know, realistically, like you have to have time to do it and you have to have time to do your other responsibilities. But if you do that, you will succeed. People will see you and you have to be like a kind of a likable person. Sean's a very likable person. If I was a big asshole, like nobody would like me. And then ChatHQ, it wouldn't matter if I was in front of everything, like ChatHQ, you know what I mean? So, you know, you kind of have to be a little bit likable, but the concept is if you're in front of everyone and you're a nice person and you're respectable and you're helpful, people see that and it's incredible.
100%. Like, you don't want to be slapping kids doing wrestling matches.
Dude, I didn't know he was a coach. And then I'm like, I watched it like two or three times. Yeah, he got two quick little punches in there. Like, you saw, like, you could see the little punches. Like it felt like what would happen if another dog started biting my dog and I'm like trying to smack the dog to get it off my dog.
Yeah.
But it's a child. It's a high school child. And this fucking dude's punching him in the face and he's a billionaire.
It's not right. I don't know if he was punching or if he was slapping. I couldn't really see in the video, but it's how you can quickly change the perception of your reputation in the view of others, just in this little stupid thing. But going back to Sean, what I wanted to say is that like him being a CEO, how important is it to be in touch with your customer? And like he is in the perfect, like perfect space. Like he's constantly around customers, engaging with customers.
Yeah. So
it's almost like a secret formula to success of a highly scalable software company where he's constantly in touch with customers. He doesn't really need to worry about like the nitty gritty. He's got a development team, he's got managers, he's got the senior devs and all that. All he needs to know is just to be in tune with what people are saying, the end users, which is all of us, and then leading the mm-hmm. rest of the company, which what the CEO is a leader. Bloody awesome.
Welcome back, fellow data wizards and automation aficionados, to the weekly GHL Geek Out segment, your one-stop pixel potion for the freshest go high-level updates, where we dissect every byte and bit with a dash of digital delight.
Well, let's dive into the technical. I think this whole episode could be about links, whether it's deep links, UTM parameters in URL links, or the brand new payment links, which is super exciting. Maybe you should just kick in with that. Did you notice those? It was just released the other day.
I did see the release of it. I never tested it, though. So payment links have always been around in like the conversations area. So like in conversations, you can send a link. So when they released this, what's new about it?
What's new about it is that it's almost like a checkout page that you get normally that you have to set up with Stripe. Like Stripe makes those really nice looking professional checkout pages that make you feel like you're safe to, yeah. to fill in your details. So that's what High Level has done now. You can basically set up those same checkout pages directly from High Level. So it's quicker because previously you'd have to go in Stripe and then there's a bit more clicking about to do that. So now you've got, so if let's say if you got like something that you want to sell, you're at a conference and there's no need to create a funnel because the funnel is your stand. The funnel is you talking to people at conference. So if they already show interest, mm-hmm. they want to buy, and you haven't had time to set up a simple page to send people to where they make their purchase, a page that looks nice and repeatable and credible, now you have that option. So I think that's excellent because that's a whole new like service you can pitch to a particular segment of B2B clients especially. But also...
Yeah, man, I'm looking at it now. It's exactly like Stripe. So just use the same Stripe flow. I mean, there's things that are different, but it builds that experience of you
it's
see
clean.
A form, it's clean, it's got the thing, the product next to it with your logo. Wow. Yeah, I didn't even look into this as much.
Yeah, it's awesome. I did. Now, by all means, the snapshots that I build, I actually done the same thing already like a while ago because I really like Stripe checkout pages. If you're listening and you have one of my snapshots, then you already know this. It's there. But now you've got extra flexibility with the...
Yeah, this is super cool, man. Yeah. I love this. So now this links. So what you can do, let's just do a test link here. Test link, save that. And now if I go back, I have that link. So I can now share that in conversations, right? Find me in conversation. I'll share it to myself. It's me, SMS, request payment. Okay, so when you click on request payment, okay, so just so you guys know, I'm not sharing my screen and you're listening to this podcast, so there is like a request payment button in conversations still. I think what you can do...
Feel free to share a screen, by the way. I can easily slice it in.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to find it. I don't think they put it in conversations yet, dude. So I think it's still just links. Like it wouldn't even be in... It's not even in trigger links.
And you create those under products.
Yeah, so I created one and I have this link here. And I guess... what you could do is just add it to a website or something, right? So you click it, add to a website. It takes them to that payment page. So you don't have to use a two-step order form anymore.
Yep.
Which is actually incredible because two-step order form, the one-step order form looks really nice and clean, but the two-step order form still looks pretty shitty. So now what you can do is just take this link.
Unless you use CSS, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. But I try to avoid that at all costs. I do a lot of CSS and HTML building for the website. So doing it anywhere else is a pain. Let me share my screen here. Cool. So this is what it would look like. Mm-hmm. So essentially what I did was I took this link, I created this test link, then you have to take the link URL, and then you open it up, and it uses your agency link, your white label agency link. So, awesome. Yeah, so ours is link.chathq.io, and that's the payment link. Then you have the payment, the checkout which is pretty damn cool. And this is super basic. Like, I think you can.
And if you had the product, more details about the product, I think it also features the image and things like that in that white space.
Yeah. So. And then powered by ChatHQ down here. Nice.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. This is a great alternative to the two-step order form. Like, you just click it, you open it up in a new tab or something, get them to check out.
Don't get me wrong. What I like about two-step order forms, they act really well as a lead capture because you hide the payment until they put some details in and then they don't buy it. At least you got them on the list and you can nurture.
Yeah, I actually built a cool like cart abandonment. Or this was years ago. I think it was like 2.5 years ago. I built this cart abandonment flow. So if they filled out the first step and they didn't fill out the next step, we'd reach out to them. So now clearly there's like way more with Shopify integration and products and all this cool stuff. So you can do a lot more with that cart abandonment with the two-step order form. I think they literally, Sean just posted about it the other day, where you can send product details that were in the cart to the individual in an email saying, hey, you left this in the cart, like how Amazon does it.
Oh, for Shopify, like when you've got Shopify integrated?
Yeah, I think it's just products. So now that you can add any products into funnels and stuff, you can have like a cart experience. I don't think, maybe I'm mistaken.
There is an online store. It was released mid last year where you can actually set up a true online store inside High Level and then fulfill on shipping and everything through the inside the payments. You can see the orders and you can like, there was even, from memory, there was even a section somewhere where you can actually, whether it was shipped already and wasn't shipped, things like that.
Yep.
So it's.
Yeah, so I like that. I like that.
It's also, but I think especially useful in those. Nice. Yeah. I think especially in use cases, like I said before, it's like when you're just got somebody like they want to buy it right now and you haven't got like a fancy funnel set up or anything, just send them that. It's really quick, right? Conferences and whatnot. All right, so those are payment links. Well, continuing on our trend for this theme for this episode, let's dive into UTM links. So here's my take on it, and here's what I like to do when I build snapshots as well, is I like to put, especially links that are like front-facing, that I would want to be referencing in emails, or they are links that are like people are taken to when they fill a form, things like that. Whenever there's a link that I know that I'm going to be using in multiple places, I like to set it up as a custom value and then use the trigger link and set up the trigger link and then bake the custom value into the trigger link so that I just got one main place where I need to change the URL and it's going to reference everything. It's going to be updated. And then all the UTM parameters that help fill in forms when people click on it, first name, last name, email, phone number, or the bare minimum.
And that's some like next level ninja shit right there. I have a link here. It's our preview link. We have this like tool in ChatHQ. It allows you to preview a widget on any website, right? We teach people how to build it, and it uses custom values and uses like the URL to insert data into the widget and all this cool stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But using custom values for that's next level ninja shit. Yeah. That could be a segment too.
I didn't know you can do that, but I was way back 2 years ago when I started playing around with this stuff, and I tested it and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. So I can change the URL that's set up with this custom value that the trigger link is using to reference it. And what's really cool about it, and I don't know if you guys know this, but even if you sent an email already in the past and you changed the URL,
no,
it works.
The fuck out of
here. Yes, because it's
serious?
The trigger. Yeah. Because it's the trigger link that's drawing back.
Oh, so they have to click the trigger link again, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Click the trigger link like 6 months later, and if you change the URL, now it's still going to work, and it's going to take them to that new URL. So it's
that's dope. I like that.
On the point of UTM parameters, again, going to that, like improving the experiences for potential buyers. If they've already got their details, if they've already opted in on something and that's how they got into your list initially, and now you're pitching them another lead magnet through an email that they click on, if you can have those UTM parameters so they don't have to fill in those details again, they're much more likely to submit for the next thing. And then in the view of, when you look at what are like high intent activities, and like low intent might be like just clicking a link to get to a page, and then high intent activity might be when the lead fills in a booking form to actually book a meeting with you. That's they're a lot more interested. Now, if you can make those really easy, again, UTM parameters, they don't have to fill shit. They just click on the link from an email, it's a trigger link, and now they take into that thing and They just pick a time and now they, voila, all the details already filled in a form makes their life easier. They're much more likely to complete that booking as opposed to, especially if you got a lot of fields.
Yeah.
Right?
To be honest, I hate you right now, Vit, because now I'm going to probably spend the next 3 hours going back and rebuilding everything in my high level through custom values. It's so easy to go to one spot and change things, like, because trigger links, they're a pain in the ass to change. But if you have one custom value and you use that custom value for five different trigger links, they could be for different things, right? So you have five different trigger links and each one is like very specific and you want to track each one. So one's in one email campaign, right? I send an email out to free customers. Then I send an email to people on a paid plan, like three paid plans. So I have three other lists. So that's four different trigger links. And I want to track each one and see the success of each one. But I only use one custom value. That means I only have to update one thing and all four of them get updated.
Yep. And this goes back to what right I now. Said at the beginning. I like to build stuff that is timeless. If my business URL changes, I don't have to go to all of those places to change things.
God damn it, Pitt.
Now, here's where the key comes in, right? I build all my snapshots, the snapshots that I use for my agency, the modular profit roadmap system, and also that other agencies are buying. When it comes to setting up these snapshots, trigger links, there's nothing to set up. Like all the trigger links are provided, and there's lots of different trigger links per each system. It's different stuff. They're all done. Like you don't have to do anything. Yeah. I do have checklist.
I've seen it.
Hey, go and check it, but they should all be preset. And I've never had an issue.
And I saw that firsthand because I work in our high level for this podcast, right? And so I'm like, damn it, everything's in custom. So I went and like changed logos in custom values. So I put like the logo URL in the custom values. Yeah, that's awesome, dude. I love that. I hate you for this because now I'm going to be derailed for about 3 hours today. But
now imagine if you had multiple like businesses, multiple sub accounts, now you had to change everything. Mm-hmm. But if you had this from the get go, you've got a streamlined process. And that's where the power of snapshot comes in. So if you
update one thing in the snapshot, you just update the snapshot, updates 50 customers mm-hmm. that use that snapshot.
It's incredible.
Yeah, that's super. And it's funny. Sergio told me this a long time ago. He goes, software engineers are the laziest people on the planet because they look to automate everything. That their goal is to automate everything. They'll spend 100 hours building something just to automate like the smallest thing, right? Because then they know that it's taken care of and they don't have to go back and do something manually.
You start to scale, that's where the leverage comes in.
Exactly. So it's a joke. It's a facetious type of statement, right? They're not really the laziest people. But the concept is like their first focus is how do I automate this? It's not like I'm just going to do this. I'm going to beat my head against the wall as much as I can. So that's huge, man.
To me also, it's like I'm trying to prevent the whole thing. You know how they say growing pains? Like when you're growing a company and now you're getting interest, people are signing up. And now you get this new, you enter this new era where you start to have friction because you are not able to fulfill. I don't ever want to have those growing pains, like those frictions. Mm-hmm. So that's why like I've spent about a year and a half almost to do zero sales, zero outreach, zero promotion. I was just living in my cave here in my office and just building each snapshot and just going crazy deep, documenting everything. Just nuts.
You know, that can be...
And I'm not making any money too either. So it was very risky.
Yeah. And that's a topic to touch on really quick, not to take us too far away from the geek out segment, but people, especially in this marketing, I've been doing this since I was 20, so almost 15 years. And people in this space, because I was one of them, they want, it's like an instant gratification. I used to call it the new get rich quick scheme, like marketing agencies. Work for yourself, especially 15 years ago. Work for yourself, work from home, work on a computer. 15 years ago, it was 2008-ish, 2008, 2009. Working on a computer was not as glamorous as it is now. And God, dial-up days, that was a little before that, but Jesus. Anyways, so the concept is like most people jump into this high-level thing going like, how do I get much as I possibly can, as much money as I possibly can, as many customers as I possibly can, as fast as I can. And there's ways to do it, right? Like your snapshots, you get your snapshots, or Extendly, right? There's resources. There's all kinds of things that you can jump in and get started really quick, but nothing compares to hard work. If you spend the time with a good strategy and a good plan and you bust your ass. I've done the same thing, Vit. I do it every freaking day with ChatHQ. It's stupid at this point because I'm spending more time than I need to on certain things. But the concept is I grew up thinking, if I just spend some time doing this, I know it's done and I can move on to the next thing. And you take that process and you don't constantly get derailed by the idea that if I spend 3 hours on this, I'm not prospecting or I'm not doing this. You set yourself up for success. You have to have a good plan. You have to know that there's at some point you have to stop working. You have to go prospect or you have to create a system that's going to go get people up from ads or SEO or something like that. But if you, I dare say it, if you build it, they will come, right? Like you have to spend some time doing it and then the fruits of your labor will, they'll bear fruit. That's probably the wrong way to say it. All of your labor will bear fruit. So
there is a caveat to that. And that is a rule of innovation states that if you're building something, you need to make sure that it's a product market fit. So as soon as you can get out to the market with the minimum viable product, test it out. Because you don't want to like just spend all this money and everything and develop stuff and then go on the market and people are like, this is shit. Then want so one of the things
Go ahead.
I've got a mate. He's a CEO of innovation, like an incubator, one of those programs, government. They get government grants as well, and they help new companies, bootstrap companies to get grants, get some money. And so he gave me this 10 rules of innovations. And one of them is you need to innovate with based on customer feedback as soon as you can. It's like the skateboard method, high level skateboard method. So that is one caveat to that. What I did, it was a bit crazy. And I went into like very risky waters because for a while I didn't tell anybody. I was just using it for myself. For my clients, and it worked for me. It worked, so that was like proof of concept. I'm using it. I like it, and it must be good. And then anyway, then obviously I've got mates that are in the agency space, and when I have calls, I share that with them, and then they started to be interested, and so I sold some of those early on, and that sort of kept me confident that what I'm doing is going to work. But you definitely want to have at least some level of external feedback, external users.
Yeah, dude. So yeah, let me back up what I was saying before is. By no means do you want to build in the dark and never come out. What you said when you went in your cave, like that can be very dangerous, right? So for example, what we do at ChatHQ, I have countless ways to get feedback from people, right? Like the Facebook group, reaching out to people individually. We use Hotjar. So we use like micro surveys. Micro surveys are huge. Ask people in emails. We use ideas boards. We have a public roadmap that people can upvote. So there's all kinds of different things. And you don't want to, that's the old way of software engineering is long release cycles. And so what that means is we're going to build for a quarter and then we're going to release software at the end of the quarter or build for a year and release software at the end of the year. And that was old like Microsoft stuff, right? Like big applications. And so what it's called now is rapid innovation or it's not rapid innovation. It's sprints, but it's called rapid iteration, not innovation. Oh. My apologies. So rapid iteration is like quick release cycles. So they are sprints, like 2 week sprints, but really it's more about releasing. So sprints are more about project based stuff. So it's, I have my developer on a sprint and he can finish 3 projects in a sprint, but now it has to go through QA and it has to go into a release cycle. So release cycle should probably be once a week if you're a software engineer or like a company building software. If you can do it once a week, that's fantastic. If you just release things like small things once a week, that's huge. But mostly what I'm talking about is we're talking about high-level agencies, right? And so what I believe is because I'm building a product, ChatHQ is our product, it's not high-level. When you have a 500-engineer team building high-level, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about rapid innovation. You don't have to worry about software engineering. And so like Snapshot's a little different, right? You're like still building something. But in terms of setting yourself up for success, if you spend the time, and it won't be months, it would be probably a couple weeks to get everything up and running. And then you can start to do some more rapid iteration because like you're getting customers, you're getting people in, you're getting feedback, and then you're trying to, then you're doing things like quicker process, like smaller things in a quicker process. That's what I'm talking about. So I guess where I went earlier with that was like people jump in and they're like, okay, let's go. What do I do now? Let's go in and do something. Like make sure you're giving yourself the opportunity to succeed and then focus on, okay, I'm going to get as many clients as possible, right? Because you already have the software built. You already have snapshots like your snapshots that are there that can be plugged in and easily configured. And then Extendly, shout out to Extendly, you get them in there and it's like, you don't have to handle customer support. If I didn't have to handle customer support for ChatHQ, we'd be a $1 million company easily right now. The amount of time I spend in customer support and dealing with just fixing things and like communicating with customers, which I love to do. I love talking to customers. I don't want to be somebody that doesn't stay in the like front of mind of customers and be like a very public person. But the time spent doing that is incredible. And so with High Level, you have resources to do all those things for you. So you just have to give yourself the opportunity to succeed. And then you can start worrying about, oh, I'm going to get all these customers in. Because then it's like on autopilot at that point, right?
It's actually what's really incredible is that as long as you got a little bit of money, because you can either do what I did and build everything for yourself, or you build all these white label team for yourself. Or like you said, there's all these options already on the market, tried and tested. And it's just a matter of money. If you got 10K, I think if you just got 10K, it's way plenty of time, plenty of money to start your SaaS and buy all the snapshots that you need, set up, sign up all these third party providers, and you literally got a solid business. It's the time that we live in is just incredible. Like for people who have money, who like maybe their whole life worked in corporation, the corporate ladder, and they've got money. They might have half a million savings or a couple of hundred grand in savings. You've got this amazing opportunity now that you don't even have to know what a High Level does. You could just be like a true entrepreneur and you just delegate everything, delegate the knowledge. You don't have to do anything. Just grow the business. Just focus on selling it.
Totally. Dude, and on the flip side, you got 19, 20-year-olds. When I was 20, I had to build WordPress websites and try to rank them for SEO. And like, we were doing good. Like, this was before Penguin and Panda. So we got things up, got websites up to number one in Google for like mainly long tail keywords. So 3 or 4 words in the search bar, but local businesses and stuff. So like fence construction, Chicago or something like that. Number one in Google in 30 days. And people like me are the reason that Penguin and Panda exist, because I learned from the people that exploited the system. Yeah. And Google's, we're not going to do that anymore.
100%.
But the idea is if I had High Level, white label, High Level SaaS when I was 20, are you fucking kidding me? Like these kids, look at Dominic. Dominic's like one of the top affiliates in High
Dominic
Level.
Dominic Baptiste, yeah.
Yeah, dude. The guy's fucking killing it. Absolutely killing it. He's got like, 2 million? He just posted the other day. He's got like over 2 million in affiliate revenue total. Like total affiliate revenue. And he's only been an affiliate for a year and a half.
Yeah. I remember his beginning and when he was posting that his success of TikTok videos and it just exploded. Yeah.
Just fucking killing it. I'm so jealous, dude. I've been using High Level for 5 years and I never jumped into the affiliate side like an idiot. And I could have been one of those guys in the forefront, like Rob Bailey and all those guys. Like they had big audiences. Nobody fucking knew who I was. But just putting in some effort, you could have gotten 20, 30K a month in affiliate sales. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you don't need this huge network. Like the guys with the huge networks are getting massive amounts of affiliate money. But early on, all you had to do is go, guys, check out this new thing. 100%. And all people like us that are like, whoa, what's High Level? But 5 years ago, that's just,
it's a big opportunity. Crazy. Yeah, it's a big opportunity. Yeah. And by the way, for those of you guys listening, we're not just about podcasts for SaaSpreneurs and agencies. We are about you guys that are doing the affiliate side of things as well. We probably just haven't covered that bit at all yet in our episodes, but there will be more of it because affiliate side, High Level, this is podcast about High Level. And if we just go broad, let's just talk about all the opportunities that how you can make money with High Level. Affiliate is very lucrative opportunity. I myself am an affiliate and I do a little bit. I dip my toes in occasionally. I create some content and things like that. I do have got a couple of people sign under me and it's just nice. Even it's not massive amount of money, but a couple hundred bucks every month for almost passive. You just got to look after those people initially, obviously, but there's an incredible opportunity.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay for High Level. Like you don't have to pay, if you're young, you don't have money to pay $497 or for the software. You could just be only an affiliate.
Yep.
Like Dominic, he made a video. One of his most effective videos on TikTok from memory was when he opened up a laptop and he gave it to his cousin who was like 6-year-old or maybe 8-year-old, like young kid. And he showed him just really quickly before how to... build a website using the web builder, and then he recorded him how he's building a website using a web builder, and the caption was, "Even my 8-year-old cousin can do it." Mm-hmm. That had like massive, like it was viral.
Yeah.
Little things that's like huge. That. Just could be creative.
Yeah, that is a good point. Being creative.
100%.
Right? Don't fall in line with, don't be a stick in the mud. Don't be one of the, you got to think outside the box. Like that. I feel like we're spoon fed so much today. Like we have so much at our fingertips. The people that are sitting there going, what's a different perspective on this? How can I succeed? How can I change the status quo? Those are the people that succeed, right? Like massively, I'm saying like everyone can succeed, but the people that kind of flip the script are the people that go, and this is what you had to do for generations, like decades, right? You had to be like, how can I be different? And nowadays, there's huge markets and there's huge niches. So you don't always have to be different, but the people that are can succeed in any market. In it,
yeah, it's right? About marketing angles, like coming up with good marketing angles. If I, the analogy of trying to pick up on a, like, how do you say that? Let's say if you like some chick at a school and you're trying to come up with a good phrase what to tell her, right?
And then, oh, like a pickup line?
Pickup lines. It's what it is. It's like marketing is just good pickup lines to the right segment, right? Just come up with good pickup lines. And you could even just use AI just to give you some ideas, right?
There you
it's
go.
It's so easy. It's just so easy.
Dude,
spoon fit.
You have no idea how like how much creativity has been just drained from my brain because I just go to ChatGPT and I'm just like, all right, ChatGPT, tell me what to do. It sucks sometimes. I'm like, I just want to think of something myself. Think of an email. Write an email that's creative again. And that's, you don't have to really, but it's nice when you can and when you set yourself apart from AI generated content. So,
but then when you think about it, like what's a more intelligent decision? Is it like, oh, I'm going to challenge my brain and I'm going to do it because, or to me it's weird because it's like, it's the easy way, but it's also the intelligent way because it's a tool. It's a leverage. Why wouldn't you use it?
Oh yeah. 100%.
But the line that
the conversation, if you ask the doctor that, the conversation would be incredibly different.
It's decision. Like from a physiological perspective, like brain development or brain mush becoming like
neuroplasticity, bro.
100%,
that's the key.
100%,
Yeah.
But I think that's where like good old like having a conversation and still being social, that's where you can still like stimulate your brain.
Oh yeah.
I worry about the younger generation though, because they're not really that communicative anymore, like one-to-one. They are all on the phones, right? That's weird. We've sidetracked a little bit, but there was one thing just to add to it is what Billie Jean said when he was on the stage of High Level Summit. He said, and he was pitching all these different AI tools and he was just specifically giving like good examples on how you can do this marketing of AI tools, whatever. And then he was saying is, imagine this, 20 years from now, your kid is going to be asking you like, hey dad, so like you grew up at the time when this was like happening and you didn't do anything with it. Do you know what I mean? Like you had this incredible opportunity to make lots of money with AI and you didn't use it. You didn't capitalize on it. There's a short window of opportunity right now because more of us use it, higher it'll be to compete. So quicker you get into it, the higher the upside you have.
Yeah.
Just going back to the links, though, I just want to go back to the beginning of this episode. We talk about links, and there was one more aspect that I like to look at when you think about links, because we just looked at one way. It's like how we can make it easier, like when you're being served with a link, to click on it to get you to where you want to be or in the easier way. The other really cool benefit, and this is more to do with UTM parameters, is the other way around for tracking and monitoring. So we're going back to marketing and marketing spend is when you're deciding. And this is another cool little lesson I learned from this dude that was CEO of this college back in Sydney. He was giving us a lesson about marketing and he said, in marketing, in advertising, measure everything because if you don't measure it, you don't know which channel has been profitable and which hasn't. So I like to set up a UTM. And so back to High Level, what I like to do, you know how you got these Linktree pages? I like to create Linktree pages for each different social channel. So like a Linktree link for Facebook, Linktree link for Instagram, one for TikTok. And then they all look the same, but the buttons
have UTM parameters are different. Yeah.
Different parameters. And I still use trigger links. I know like natively you can't put trigger links in a web page, but there is a way how you get around it. Did you know that?
No, tell me.
So when you go into the editor, if you paste the trigger link, then you send it to yourself, and then you copy the off the email.
Oh, yeah, then you copy that link, yeah.
Then you copy that link, and it's if you got it on the your white label domain, it looks good as well. Mm-hmm. And you put it behind all those buttons, and obviously you want to do UTM parameter for source campaign, I think it was whatever, put Facebook and then Instagram and then TikTok. Because that all comes back into high level into the attribution report, so you can measure that.
Yeah.
I was did we cover all the angles when it comes to links?
Yeah. No, that's important, right? Like one thing that going back to tracking marketing stuff is track all the changes you make. Keep a log of all the changes you make.
Oh, yeah.
It could be a Google Doc. It could be a Google Doc. It could be just add a headline for the date so that in the Google Doc, you have that little navigation for every headline you can click and go down. So you can just scroll the dates or click up doc or whatever you do. And then even if you make the smallest change, hey, I changed my trigger link, put it in the log. Hey, I changed my website, put it in the log. Because at that point now, if you see a boost in conversions between January 1st and February 1st, 2024, and you go back and say, what did I do just before January 1st? And then what did I do in the middle of January? You have all of these different logs and you know what worked and what didn't, right?
And that's very powerful for you, but you can also use it as a case study when you're trying to acquire new clients, right? You say, hey, we got lots of different strategies we've tried in the past. Yeah. They're unorthodox strategies, stuff that you've never heard of it. But for example, we could do this little thing and here's the result that we've been able to generate for ourselves. And you could even take it a step further where you take
customers.
That. Yeah, I've seen, I think the guy from King Kong, Sabri Subi, he's one of the big OG of marketing in Australia. He wrote this book called, you don't know him, but it's called Sell Like Crazy.
Sell Like Crazy, yeah.
Very successful agency owner in Australia. And he was showing in one of his videos, he has a spreadsheet of all his clients and he's got like column for what's the industry of the client. And what are the like conversion rates on stuff that they do for the clients? So then you end up with a massive archive of data-driven results that you can present to any other potential client based on their industry. You can say, hey, we've helped other clients in that exact same industry as you're in. These are the average results that we get. It's like a true like hardcore data.
Man,
and whether it's, his one was paid ads, but you could use it for any type of results that you generate.
And you could do that really easily. So obviously we all use some sort of like screen sharing, screen recording software. So I use Loom, and Loom's AI, they have a new update where they create like SOPs and really cool stuff. So there's five categories. So I'll pull it up here and I'll show you guys. For you guys listening, essentially what it is, let me see. Okay. Let me pull up a video that I can show here. Okay. So let me share my screen. So this video that I recorded is just it's an onboarding video. Like it's a video of somebody else's onboarding. So like a software that I jumped into and I'm like, ooh, this onboarding is really cool. So I just documented it. The AI is going to do things like create a title, create a summary, all that stuff. But they have this new thing here called use AI to document your process. So if I go to create, I have five options. I have step-by-step, generate a PR description, write code docs, create a JIRA issue, or outline QA steps. So if I go to step by step, this is literally going to generate a standard operating procedure, an SOP, for everything I did in the video. Okay, so not only do I have video documentation of what I did, but now I can just create like literally one by one, step by step of the entire process. So what I'm trying to say in regards to the documenting your marketing stuff, all your marketing efforts, is just record. It's called the camcorder method. It's something Dan Martell really preaches, and it's you just record yourself doing things and talk out loud while you're doing them, and then you have documentation of it. You could just give that to another employee. Hey, this is how I do this. Go learn from this. I don't want to sit here and teach you in person. I'm giving you all the tools you need to learn this. Come back to me with questions and we'll find solutions. But if you want to document this for marketing reasons and case study reasons, you can literally jump in if you're working on somebody's campaign for an hour, like they're in their high level, whatever you're doing. Just record the entire thing, and then you create this SOP, this step-by-step. And obviously, you can go in and edit, because I don't know if like Loom's going to try to make this more educational in nature and not like a documentation process. But you could do that, and then now you have a log that you didn't have to generate. Like you AI generated it, right? or you could do QA. So QA is more for engineering, like trying to find a bug. See how like the first headline here says steps to reproduce the bug. And then it gives you a bunch of things that you did. Open the software, wait for the advanced onboarding screen to appear, blah, blah, blah. So like you have all these resources at your fingertips That's to incredible. Do this and make it super easy. Yeah, I actually use that. So I use the SOP a lot for we're trying to build an SOP library. And then the QA I use when I just have to record a quick video for my engineers, I'll just be doing QA, which is quality assurance. And I'll go in, I'll test something new that was launched, and I'll record it on Loom and say, hey, I'm testing live chat, or I'm testing the knowledge base builder, and I found this bug and blah, blah, blah. And it just builds the entire QA, the bug reproduction process for me. I copy that, paste it in to GitHub. We use GitHub for all of our engineering tasks. So paste it into GitHub with the Loom video. So they have the video and they have the step-by-step that Loom created for me. Incredibly easy. And so this is another way AI is just revolutionizing the process. Like you don't have, this would probably have taken significantly longer to do, right? Like I couldn't quantify it, but a lot longer than it took doing it this way. So
as you've been showing this, I've been thinking about what would be a good title for today's episode. I know we talk about links, but really what we're talking about is creating assets that are timeless that give you leverage. Whether it's a link that's built through custom value into triggering, that's timeless. You don't have to go back to it. It's leverage. Creating wikis using Loom, that's leverage. One more thing I was going to add to that, a little tip, what you could also do is, especially if you're building it like a wiki for your employees, because you can export it as a video file from Loom, right?
So now you've download the video file, yeah.
Right. So now you can download it. Now you've got the text that's been generated with AI. Take it into high level, create a course, create a certification for it, create quizzes after each lesson that people have to answer the quiz, the right answer. So then they're actually verifying the knowledge acquired. At the end, they do the little main quiz to get certified. You could build the whole thing in a couple of days. And now you've got a course that you can take every new employee through without you having to touch your finger, and only people that pass through. And you can make it like criteria. If you haven't done it by Friday, it's like gone. You know, good. We need people that are action takers. So if you do it quick, you can measure time.
Yeah, that's funny that you said that, because I'm actually, it's on my to-do list. I just haven't gotten around to it, but I'm building a ChatGPT masterclass. Right. So it'd be just something on the side of the help docs that are a little bit more contextual. The masterclass is like holding their hand and, hey, welcome. Like, we're going to teach you how to do this, but we're going to do that.
I like that.
So I'm going to record Looms, create the SOPs, bring it into high level memberships, take the SOPs, and then go to ChatGPT and say, hey, create a quiz based on this SOP with question answers, like question answer segments. And produce a 10-question quiz with these SOPs.
And then configure that in a course in high level. That's
and
awesome.
Put it in the assessment, yeah.
Excellent. I love it.
Yeah, man. Lots of nuggets in this episode.
100%.
We're just doing people's work for them, bro. We should get paid for this. Oh, wait. Yeah, I guess I should leave people on the hook. So, hey, if you're still around, you're listening. So, Vit and I, we're going to be opening up an opportunity to help you guys. Same way we help you in this podcast, but much, much deeper experience, much more hands-on for consulting, for high-level consulting. So we'll go in, we'll help you strategize, we'll help you change what you may be broken or update what may need to be updated, potentially go in, put our hands on on the high-level assets and stuff and like actually fix things from where we're sitting. But yeah, it's high-level consulting. Me and Vit will be doing that pretty soon here. We're going to be opening up the doors, I don't know, probably within the next couple weeks or so. By the time this episode airs, it might already be out. But yeah, so if you guys are interested, there's going to be links in the show notes and the website, all kinds of stuff. And we're actually also going to bundle it in with our affiliate offer. So if you guys want to upgrade your high level through the High Level Experience podcast, you guys are going to get free consulting. So we haven't figured out what that offer is going to be, whether it's like an hour a month or like a small package of, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours of consulting that you can use over time. But yeah, it's definitely going to be part of that deal. So let us know, man. We got a lot of stuff to offer. I've been using High Level for 5 years. Vit's been using it for how many years now, Vit? 3.5 years. So I built 3 businesses inside of High Level. Like I used it for myself. I used it for all my customers. Vit builds incredible snapshots. I feel like a consultant anyways, because I'm always freaking helping people with High Level. No matter what, I'm just like, yeah, I'll go in there. I was on a call till 10:30 last night, like showing somebody he can do all these different things in high level, just a friend of mine. So yeah, we're definitely experts in what we do, and we want to pass that on along to the customers, you guys, the listeners, and obviously we need to get paid for what we do, but we have a lot of value to give. So,
and look, you can take the long ride. It's almost like a question of, is it a question of time or question of money? If you haven't got time, but you got money, then this is how you get that shortcut. If you do have time and don't have money, then obviously tap into this podcast and utilize the strategies that we share with you, so you can start to generate money and then come back to us and pay us for some consulting for even further shortcut that journey.
Time is money, bro.
Time is money. You know, time is precious. And it's one thing that I regret you shouldn't regret what happened in your life. But when I think back, there's things that I could have done a lot sooner or differently, but I wasn't none the wiser back then. So it is what it is.
We want to move on we got to get to the beef, right? The new segment. But one thing is, you always want to buy back your time, right? So when you have more time than money, like ChatHQ, we have more time than money. I can put all my time into ChatHQ because I don't have a ton of money to disperse. But at some point, that becomes the bottleneck, right? And so, really good book. If you guys don't know who Dan Martell is, he wrote a book called Buy Back Your Time. He created the buyback principle. And there's a ton of really amazing strategies in there. And essentially what it is you're using money to buy back your own time. So you're not just hiring people to do specific things. You're hiring people to replace the actions that you do so that you can spend your time on things that you love in your business. Because if we're not enjoying the ride, why the hell are you on the roller coaster? What the fuck are you doing? If you're not enjoying it, if you're on one of those roller coasters where your head's constantly hitting the side of the thing, and there's got to be a reason why you're on that roller coaster. Yeah. And so you got to figure out how to buy back your time. That's where me and Vit Consulting comes in. Snapshots. Vit's got a bunch of snapshots. And just every other resource in the high-level space. Like, you want to use that money to buy back your time, to make sure that you're doing what you love, and to make sure that you're scaling the way that you need to scale so you can make more money. Because that dollar is going to turn to $10 at some point. And if you don't never spend the dollar, it's never going to turn into $10. Right?
100%. And high-level offers you the most amazing type of revenue, which is recurring revenue. There's nothing better than recurring revenue. And so it's a big opportunity.
Speaking of amazing things high-level does, let's talk about the not so amazing things high-level does.
The beef, baby. Yeah. So guys, before we started recording this episode, I was mentioning to Andrew, I've got a little bit of a beef with this new release, this new update. And then we was like, okay, well, I think you said it. Like, why don't we make it a segment? Why don't we talk about some of the stuff that's annoying us as well? Because, I mean, to me, in the universe, there always needs to be balance, right? It's like Star Wars, right? The dark side and the Jedi's, right? The yin and yang. And High Level is an amazing software and we love it. But every now and then, there's things that we don't like so much. And right now, they have this amazing website that you can go to. It's called ideas.gohighlevel, where you can submit a vote towards an idea of someone else, or you can submit your own idea about a feature update, or potentially a brand new feature idea that you have. But the problem with that is you only get upvotes if people find you. There's no way to actively promote it in the community. It's against the rules of the Facebook group, High Level group. They don't let you, you know, like put a post up to like say, hey, I've got this idea and please upvote on my idea. The moment you do that, your post will get taken down. And obviously they have their reasons for it. And I understand the logic behind it too. Otherwise the group would just be one big, you know, jungle of like all these posts. But there needs to be a balance. And so we wanted to provide you that opportunity through this new segment that we've come up with called The Beef. So we get to have the full control and pitch an idea or frustration that we can then,
We're kind of just going to bitch about things in the beef, but I think a good portion of the segment would be like, we go look for ideas on the ideas board, or we get people kind of like the 3 for 3 where we're showcasing agencies. We can have people submit the potential idea to us like, hey, we've been trying to get upvotes for this. Like, can you bring attention to this idea? This is broken. This needs to be fixed. And we kind of go with that. But I think a good starting point for this segment before we start to get people like submit those ideas is just kind of bitch about, you know, you can bring up something to bitch about. I'll bring up something to bitch about. and we just get some, you know, get some of that negative energy off our chest to get our, well, my day's just starting. And then you can end your day well. I can start my day well, get all that frustration out.
I like that because, I mean, I don't get to go home and tell about this stuff to my wife. Like, she doesn't want to hear this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Welcome to The Beef, where frustration sparks solutions. We're digging into high-level challenges that bug us while shining a light on your brilliant ideas, needing more upvotes on the ideas board.
You know what really grinds my gears?
So, okay, so here's the beef that I've got, guys. I use workflows a lot when I build, you know, systems. I build snapshots for my agency. You know, there's a lot of workflows, and I like to bake the, you know, when it comes to emails inside workflows, the emails that go out to the customer, I like to write the emails directly in a workflow. I know there's, you know, you could do the templates, the snippets, and then reference them in workflows, but I don't really like that because when it comes to sales, I like to use snippets for sales for like manual outreach. And I mean, if you've got a lot of snippets, you end up with a crazy long list. So that's actually a detriment. So anyway, that's my take on it. But long story short, I like to edit these emails inside workflows and make them look good. You know, the formatting of the text, add links, and sometimes I even add images. And there's never been an issue with that editor. It's always worked perfectly fine. It was really easy to find out trigger links that I need to reference or custom values that I need to reference. But since December, somebody in high-level development team has decided to make it prettier. You know, they've been improving the look and feel of high level, which I really like. And so maybe that's kind of like the movement there and why they maybe decided to do the same thing with the email editor. So it does look nicer, but it makes it harder. So that's my beef. It's actually a release that's made something that worked perfectly fine to be a lot harder to work with. There's things like, you know, I like to, you know, create certain like formatting in my like Gmail editor and then copy paste it in there. Never had issue with it. Now when I do it, it just consolidate all the text. It gets rid of the spacing and empty rows. It's just terrible. It just ruins the whole formatting of the message that I put it in. And now I have to spend more time to like figure out how to fix it. So that's my beef. I don't know what you guys think about this new release, this new update, but it's certainly not my favorite at all.
So one thing to touch on that beef, bro. I noticed that I have emails built, text emails in workflows, that the formatting stayed the same. So maybe this is just for new emails, but it's still, yeah, there should never be five spaces in between the ending of your email and your signature. It's absolutely ridiculous. So that's some good beef, bro. That's some good beef. My beef for this lovely segment is live chat. So ChatHQ already has an integration with high-level live chat. So what we do is we give you the ability to bring high-level's live chat into your ChatHQ widget. Why you'd want to do that is because high-level's chat widget is very inefficient. It does one thing. Doesn't do it very well, and ChatHQ's widget does a million things and does them all pretty damn well. And it gives you all kinds of different options to do all kinds of different things and communicate and engage with your prospects and visitors. So bringing their live chat into our chat widget, and then also having the ability to like book on a calendar or, you know, fill out a form or check out reviews or click on links, whatever it is you're doing in ChatHQ, it just makes that experience 10 times better or 100 times better, I would say. So my beef is when using the live chat, whether it's with high level on high level's widget or ours, it's all through their system, right? And so there are a lot of bugs. And I actually had a conversation with the project manager. So I gave him a long list of issues and bugs. And the biggest one is that, well, it's kind of a two-part beef, right? They don't collect information ahead of time. So they just start a live chat session. It gives like a guest name to the live chat contact, and then it doesn't collect information until a physical agent like a human presses the request contact details button. So what we have done in ChatHQ is we try to collect that information ahead of time, right? But you cannot send that into to high level's API, or else it doesn't create a live chat session. It creates an SMS session. It's really stupid. And if I'm a current contact in your high-level system and I'm starting a live chat, it doesn't attribute that live chat to my conversation, like my thread, my contact conversation thread. And if the agent requests contact information and I exist in your system, it does not attribute that conversation to my current contact record. It tries to create a new contact record and does not take in the duplicate contact data. So for example, let's use an example here. I go on my website. I start a live chat. I can open a live chat, start asking questions immediately. No contact information is needed, okay? Then the agent asks me for contact information. If I'm a brand new contact, it works fine. I get the name, email, phone number, all creates a contact record, okay? If I ever come back to... In high level, yeah. If I ever come back to that conversation, the conversations end up in the thread, okay? Now, the scenario where my beef exists is if I already exist in your high-level CRM as a contact and contact details are requested, because this is like the first session ever that existed in, for me in live chat, there's no contact details. So the agent requests contact details. I give them name, email, phone number. If my email and phone number exist in your system, it just leaves them blank. It does not fill them in the contact record. It takes my name, creates a brand new contact, and now there's no data that's attributed to that. It's just, I'm a brand new contact. I have a name. I have no email or phone number. And that's all that happens. And then obviously whenever I chat in the future, it goes to that contact record. It's very, very bad, right? Mm. And so we were kind of joking at, I don't know, a couple different conversations because Sean Clark, the CEO of High Level, never liked live chat. He always thought SMS chat was the way to go. Small business owners will never have the ability to really capitalize in live chat because nobody's there to answer live chat, blah, blah, blah. Well, with the dawn of AI and with High Level moving into the e-commerce space, he needed to have a change of heart because there's a lot of opportunity in live chat. And so we were kind of joking, saying like they just pushed this out and it was Sean Clark's way of going, see, live chat doesn't work. It's shit. Like, you know, like it's like, no, the way you did it was shit, you know? But you know, that was just a small joke. But the point is that, you know, and the AI can't even request contact details. Like there's ways you can do it through workflows and stuff. You can use conversational AI and workflows and ask questions, whatever. But the concept is there should be a setting in conversational AI in the settings. So when you go into your location settings, you configure your AI, you train it. There should be a little setting there. If you enable live chat as a channel for AI, there should be a setting that says, allow AI to request contact details. Or
if it's blank, yeah.
If it's blank, or force the person that's starting the live chat to just put in something to start the live chat, right? So there's ways to do this. And this is going back to that rapid iteration MVP stuff, that conversation where they just wanted to get it out. And it sucks sometimes because just getting it out is not good enough. It makes people upset. It can cause churn. It can cause people to have beef, right?
Yeah.
And so for us at JetHQ, we stopped engineering our live chat the moment High Level launched theirs, because we needed to get that out because people were going to want to use High Level's live chat, right? They already had things like AI configured and whatever. So we put a pause to ours just while we had to get theirs out. And when we did, we're like, hey, it's out. It's amazing. And then we're like, wait, it doesn't collect contact information. Oh, wait, it does, but only if the contact record doesn't exist. And oh, wait, that, like there's so many little like, oh, yeah, what the
scenarios,
fuck,
edge cases. Yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah. And so there's my beef, guys. There's my beef.
I mean, in the name that it says, you know, minimum viable product, it has to be viable.
It's so true, dude. It's funny. That's a good point. Yeah.
But on the same note, I mean, yeah, we don't like, I mean, we love High Level. So this is just to voice out some of our frustration with some of the things, amongst most of all the amazing things. And, you know, Sean, if
to validate all of you guys. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Speak directly to Sean, please. Go ahead.
Sean, if you're hearing it, you know, hopefully you're listening and, you know, you do what you need to do.
That's all I got. We love you, man. Honestly, I've met Sean 5, 6, 7 times now. Robin, I know Robin and Varun, like me and Sergio know them personally, and like they're amazing people, right? They're working so damn hard. You know, we do this because we know all of you have frustrations as well. And I think that's where the segment's going to really come in, is like, we all do have frustrations. Software is not easy, and scaling at the level that High Level scales at is not easy, right? It's a challenge. The things that they're doing, they're building so much at the exact same time and launching all these different things. There's going to be frustrated people. And I think it's a testament to how many people want this product to be the best, but also validation and, you know, just saying, hey, we hear you. We got beef too. It doesn't stop us from using High Level at all. You know, if you're not using High Level, or if you're listening to this podcast, definitely check out our affiliate link. You know, we'll help you get past those beef moments. But no, it is just like validation, because I've been frustrated with High Level for 5 years, but I've never stopped using it because it runs my businesses. It is the best software on the market right now for doing what you need to do, and doing it at a scale and a level that provides financial freedom and all the different things that come along with it. So there's going to be frustrations, and don't let those keep you from using High Level. Don't let those keep you from scaling and growing, you know, at a pace that, you know, fits you and fits your goals and fits your aspirations.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good point. Having the patience, there's been many times I had to have patience, but I mean, there's no better alternative on the market.
Yeah,
than High Level.
And don't go blow up the Facebook group. Right,
oh,
Sean.
Shit.
We all tag Sean in Facebook and stuff, and he's an amazing person for coming in and talking about, you know, giving us some reassurance and calming us down. But trust me, the difference between now and 5 years ago is now. Like, for example, 5 years ago, oh hell yeah, I would blow up that Facebook group like crazy, right? Like, Sean, what the heck's going on? You know, whatever. But now you can post and say things like, "Hey, Sean," or "Hey, somebody, I'm having these issues. Does somebody else have these issues?" Or, you know, "Hey, I submitted a support ticket on this and here's the ticket number and I'm just not getting a response. Can somebody please help?" You don't have to go in there guns blazing with hair on fire. Like, you know, there's no need for anger and things like that. Like, everyone's trying to help everyone succeed, and High Level's goal is to make you money. They made, I think they said at a High Level Level Up Summit, $6 billion for their High Level users through rebilling and things like that. $6 billion across the board. That's unreal. They're putting money. They didn't make $6 billion. I can guarantee you that they are not a $6 billion company, but they want to be. But the goal is to put the money back in your pocket. The more money you make, the more money they make, the longer they succeed. And so you don't have to go in there guns blazing and acting like, you know, Sean or Robin or anyone did this to specifically ruin your company and make your life harder, because they didn't, right?
Yeah, 100%. It's never us and them. It's a, you know, we are one big community. And a testament to, just to add to it, you know, I was at High Level Summit last year, my first level up. And there was a picture that was posted like after the last day on Thursday when the summit finished. Somebody put it in a Facebook group, and it was Sean, Varun, what's the other guy?
Robin.
Yeah, Sean, Varun, and Robin. All of them sitting on the ground in a hotel, you know, in a hall, on the carpet, like no chair, like just sitting on the ground with their laptops open, next to each other, laptops open, like, and just working.
Yeah. You know what they did this year? They opened up, they did this little thing where it's like, "Developers, developers, developer." Remember that thing? And they showed Microsoft to the developers.
Yeah.
This was the most amazing, and not everyone took advantage of it, but a lot of people don't care or even know how to communicate with the developers. But like me, Sergio, my co-founder, who's a 17-year engineer, Nathan Sheeran, shout out to Nathan, some of the other guys that are in the industry that really build and do some really cool stuff at High Level. They opened up this little conference room. All the top engineers, like the project managers and stuff like that, were in that room, and you could just sit in that room. And we were working in that room. We were talking to the engineers. We were shooting ideas back and forth. I have this picture. It's me, Sergio, Quentin Newman from Capri AI, and like 7 high level engineers. And it's it's such an amazing photo because those engineers, they're all in India and stuff like that, and they're across the world, and they got to all come here and see all the people like us that are like just enjoying every little bit. I had so many conversations with project managers at that Level Up randomly. They're like, oh, using the mobile app, what do you like about this? And they're just collecting feedback because those engineers don't get that opportunity. And they were physically in the room talking to us and having conversations. And it was like the most amazing thing ever. So coming from a founder, and I communicate with my engineers every single day and my co-founder and stuff, it is exceptional what that opportunity, like the opportunity that they brought to us at that Level Up, which is huge. So they deserve all the credit in the world for doing that. Most people wouldn't do that. They keep their engineers in the dark. They build, you know, away from the community. And that was a big testament to what they are standing for and like what their morals and values are and their mission is as a company. So
yeah,
I really, really enjoyed that. So thanks guys. Appreciate that.
I missed that. I actually totally missed that opportunity to go there. But I remember it was there. It was just so much. I mean, I was there for the first time, and I mean the event, come on, that was the best event I've ever been to. Kid in a candy store.
Kid in a candy store, yeah.
But I mean, speaking of Level Up Summit, I know they've opened up marketing now. They started promoting the next one. Guys, if you're new to High Level and if you got a bit of money extra, but a couple of grand extra, I highly recommend it. It is an experience. It's almost like it's a product mm-hmm. on its own. Like what they've been able to pull off this last year, like they had freaking like the first day, the announcements or like the launch ceremony and like in the morning, like they had drummers mm-hmm. and they had like laser shows. Incredible. Unreal. Yeah. Unreal.
I would say even if you don't have extra money, put it on your credit card. It's a business expense. Pay it off.
I've already got all my returns on. Yeah. I paid about $6,000, like if I think about $6 USD in total that it cost me the whole trip, probably more flights mm-hmm. from Europe ticket. I had the VIP ticket, which was amazing. Everything paid for, accommodation, all up. But yeah, I already made my money back.
Yeah.
Making new relationship, you know, with you starting this podcast. Okay, maybe this is not generating money, but there's big opportunity long term.
Yeah.
My friendship
is in value. You can't put a dollar amount to my friendship, bro.
Yeah. Oh, 100% priceless, right? I met a lot of other people. I met with Ryan from Growthable and all the bunch of other people, and we're doing things. You know, we're doing things. We've got referral partnerships going, and it's just, you know, this is invaluable to be at an event where in the evening, you know, late at night, you're at the bar with people that are like, you know, high bowlers making, you know, really successful agency owners, and you get to, you know, hang out with people like that and drinking, you know, whiskey and chatting. And
that was one of my favorite moments the first Level Up. Actually, it was the first time I met Varun was in, Varun's the CTO, one of the co-founders. First time I met him was in San Diego for traffic and conversions when High Level went to San Diego. It was 2022 September. So it was right before Level Up. And I was sipping whiskey. I didn't know Varun was a whiskey guy and I'm a bourbon guy. So I just literally sip bourbon neat. So I just, you know, double shot of bourbon neat and I'll sip it. And he does the same thing. So he was asking me like, what do you like? I got some bourbon. We were sipping bourbon, chatting. And so every time I see him now, we like sip bourbon and it's fantastic. It's one of my favorite things to do. So
yeah. I can't wait for the next one this November. Yeah. 100% I'm coming. All right. Let's wrap it up. This has been a very insightful episode, guys. I mean, at least I'd like to think so. What do you think, Andrew?
I feel like it was. Yeah. I like that we talked about links today. Next episode that either it's just me and you or that we have like a geek out segment with a guest. There's something that I've been digging into a little bit more, which is conditional logic and forms. So we can talk more about that and I'll do some more digging into it and like use it for a bunch of different use cases. But in ChatHQ, we use a lot of conditional logic because it's all about engagement scenarios and journeys and things like that. So once they launched this in forms, I was all over it. And so I'm just kind of building things now and just seeing where I can use it. But I always use surveys because of the conditional logic. So now the conditional logic and forms just elevates that experience significantly, because it's, I feel like it's much better than the surveys are. It's a different experience, but it's better, in my opinion, right? But we could talk about that in next episode, or whether it's me and you, or just like guests. We could. I do want to touch on it a lot, though. So whether we save it for like a full episode like this, or we do it in like a shortened segment, it's huge.
We'll see. I mean, this could be a bigger topic, because I haven't played around with the new feature of the conditional feature in forms, but I have built a business audit that has conditional. It's pretty
survey slides.
Well, I plugged in an AI, so basically people fill up a survey, a bunch of questions, yes, no questions, and then there's a point system attributed to those questions. Then overall, there's an overall score, and then a subset score for each different category, like marketing, sales, and lead gen. And then end result is that the lead receives an email that's got a little dial, like showing them percentage, like a little graphic dial, like where they sit, whether it's a good, bad, average, and then also for each category. So like I said, lead gen, marketing, and sales, they are provided with a specific recommendation, which is generated by AI.
Yeah. And so we've been using, I mean, dude, I'm like I said, 15 year marketer. I was using Gravity Forms forever. And, you know, Jot Forms came out, and there was like, what's the other one? There's Jot Forms, and there's, there's another big form creator, but all of them use conditional logic, right? And I didn't pay for any of the other ones like JotForm and stuff. Gravity Forms is nice and cheap, and I built on WordPress. Conditional logic is the only way, the best way to capture the information you need and categorize people and qualify people and all that stuff. So yeah, I think we need a lot of time to touch on that, and we can kind of go in between forms and surveys and do stuff like that. So stay tuned, guys. That'll be one of the next episodes. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, I definitely think that we've got a technical bit there that we can cover a lot about this. And then overall strategy, I think, would be about the topic of qualification, because that just fits in nicely.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up, guys. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you like this episode, make sure that you follow and share and review this podcast. And we also have a newsletter now, so you can sign up to be on the mailing list so that we can keep you up to date with the latest and greatest. Also, we've got some, free tools coming up. If you want to see any behind the curtain sneak peeks, those will be coming up soon as well, as we get better and better with this editing and everything. And we are looking at opening up a membership, so you'll be able ability to have an early access to episode and some more stuff. But yeah, once again, thank you guys for listening to today's episode on High Level Experience. If you've enjoyed today's episode, then please share it with your fellow agency mates and other high-levelers that you think would also benefit from listening. For show notes, links, and extra tips to help you grow your agency or your SaaS with higher level, please go to highlevelexperience.com. That's highlevelexperience.com. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day, everybody. Oh, and just before I forget, don't forget to submit your impact story to be featured in your next episode. We have a link on our website. I think it's highlevelexperience.com/yourstories. Let me just get that right. It is, yep. highlevelexperience.com/yourstory, where you get to submit a short little recording, video or audio, and we will feature you on our next episode. If you're interested to be a guest on our next episode, you can do that as well. You can go to highlevelexperience.com website to see if you qualify. We'd love to have you if you got something interesting to say, definitely. And lastly, if you're interested to advertise, if you've got a product or service that is relevant to the audience of other high levelers, you can look at paying for a spot, and we will promote you throughout the episodes. And we have a website for that as well, which is highlevelexperience.com/advertise.
And we also, after this episode, we will be adding a beef section to our website. So you'll be able to submit. Essentially, what we want to do is get you guys to submit your ideas. So things that maybe aren't getting a lot of upvotes, we're going to collect ideas, and we're kind of going to parse through them and see which ones we believe, and maybe it's opinion based, but things that we believe are those top level beefs that we need to get upvotes for. So we know you can't post those in the community. So we will have a webpage for that as well, where you can submit your beef and, give us your idea that you put in the ideas board, and we'll hopefully get you some more upvotes, and we'll talk a little bit about it here to get it some more attention. So Thanks, guys. Appreciate you listening. And don't forget to like and share and follow. And I hope to see you on the next episode.
See you on the next episode, guys.